Joyful blessings. This is Kaylin Castell, and this is a bonus recording on Chiron in Pisces. Chiron entered Pisces for the first time in almost 50 years on April 20th, 2010. And interestingly, within 24 hours of Chiron's ingress into Pisces was the BP oil spill that happened last year. And it was a major event. Pisces is the sign that is most connected to the oceans. So, of course, Chiron moving into Pisces, and there's a huge crisis in the Gulf with the oil spill, the worst oil spill ever. And it draws our attention to the water, to the oceans, to the water imagery. And water is the element that is most connected to our emotions, to our feelings. This oil spill then was a reflection of the pollution or of the unhealthy feelings or the ways that we have not been really able to access our feelings in a healthy way. So the water of the earth is the lifeblood, and it's polluted. Pretty much every bit of water, there's very little fresh water left on the earth. And literally life can't exist without water. So this is a very important thing. We've had Chiron with Neptune, which has also been bringing our attention to the oceanic realms. And they're going to be hanging out together through 2011 within a couple of degrees. Neptune goes into Pisces, in April, in just about, 2 months from now. And so the healing of the grief, the depths of grief, the grief that we have for what's happened to our planet, the grief we have for the loss of our connection to the divine, the grief we have for any of the woundings or things that have happened for us, and finding ways to deeply, deeply grieve. This is the time for that to be happening. The grief we might have about the fracturing or splitting of our being, that, you know, that mystical union with the divine, that more divine nature, that when we came into physical reality and came into a human existence, and particularly a human existence that doesn't really honor the feelings, that doesn't really understand compassion and how to honor the human experience. So there's a deep wounding that's happened collectively and personally around these things. There, also, Chiron's about healing the illusions, and particularly around non-emotionality or not having emotions, not being given permission to feel what we feel, or having ways in our culture that support that. Back in November, I had the opportunity to work with Sabanfu Somme in a healing ceremony, and in the Dogara tribe in Africa where she's from, they do healing ceremonies regularly. Like she said, if you want, you know, pretty much weekly, there's one going on somewhere. Grieving ceremonies, I mean, not healing ceremonies, grieving ceremonies. And it's about creating the space for people to come together and grieve. And it can be about anything and everything. And this is a culture that really recognizes the importance of grieving. And I found that when I was in the ceremony, I was kind of resistant initially going into the depths of grieving. And I've had experiences where I've done that before. I wound up grieving for my mother when she found out that she had cancer, and she couldn't get into her emotions at all. She was completely disconnected from them. And several of the people in my community came together to do a healing ceremony for her. And she had no emotion, no feeling about it. And I found myself just in this deep, agonizing grief. And I knew it was partly mine, of course, but I knew it was also for her. In a culture that doesn't really find ways to support the grieving process, I highly recommend, if you get a chance to do the grief ceremony with Sabanfu or in some other way, is something very powerful. What happened for me in that particular thing was that I knew that I needed to do grieving, and it wasn't just my grief, it was like the earth's grief. I was feeling it really strongly, and at one point I was able to go to the altar and just howl and keen and let it come out, and just let it, once I allowed it to start moving through my body, I felt this flood of energy, like kundalini, just like this warm, delicious energy that came through my whole body. It was incredible. And I felt so energized and not exhausted. And like sometimes when I've done grieving processes, I'm like, ugh, because I'm too tired at the end of it. But this was incredible, incredibly energizing. So again, for those of you who are in your age 50 Chiron return, for those of you who have planets in Pisces, or planets in early degrees of Sagittarius, Virgo, or Gemini, then you're also going to be in or angles on your chart, rising, setting, midheaven, opposite point, icy, then you are in a Chiron process, particularly in 2011, because Chiron's only going up to about 5 degrees of Pisces before it retrogrades back to 0 degrees Pisces. So over the next 8 to 9 years, depending on what degrees your planets are, you will be experiencing Chiron. I have a sun in Pisces around 14 degrees, so it'll be a few years before Chiron gets there. And that will be an opportunity to do the deep grieving that needs to be done, to really embracing the feelings of anything that's been repressed or denied. And part of that has to do with whatever feelings we may have in believing that others cause us to feel what we feel, feeling like a victim. So do we need to grieve some of those experiences, or how do we find a way to transform them? How do we allow our awareness to know what it is that has been deeply pushed down into our psyche, into our feeling, into the depths of who we are, and not been allowed to have an expression or to come forth and be felt. So everything that we feel really is a message from our deep unconscious, and we could say the imagery of the ocean, the very depths of the ocean, the stillness of the deep, deep parts of the ocean, but it's expansive and it's also quiet, and it can be very still, but very powerful place to welcome into a greater conscious awareness. And again, the other thing to think about is how Pisces is about the dreaming energy. And so as we are able to access these deep feelings and transform them, allow them a place to be expressed, then we can dream and imagine and create a new reality. So working with water, the work of Dr. Emoto, who found geometric patterns in water that were formed when words were written on the containers. Our thoughts, words, and actions do produce frequencies, and that, if we're doing chanting, toning, breathing, and focusing on the feelings that we have, allowing ourselves to grieve if we need to grieve, to rage if we need to rage, to feel what it is that we feel, to feel our sorrow if we need to feel that, to work with the process of forgiveness. And when we're able to do genuine forgiveness, when we're able to do radical forgiveness, I like to work with that process as well, then we can have an authentic transformative presence in that moment. Forgiveness is really the path to not only stepping into the new earth energy, but it's also the process that takes us there, that helps us to imagine and dream once we have processed those deep feelings. So this is only possible when we're really willing to courageously and honestly examine what our lives are, and to look at them with, whatever that experience might be, without justification, without excuses, without blaming others, but really gently, compassionately embracing whatever the feelings are that we have. It's often really painful, And requires a lot of courage to face those dark and difficult places that we have within ourselves, and the resulting pain that comes up in relationship to that. So compassion, radical compassion, is really the doorway to greater freedom, and it helps us to have greater compassion for ourselves, for others, when we're able to engage that. And compassion is about being with whatever is, not having an agenda, accepting it. When we're in that place of just allowing ourselves to be with what we feel, to be in a place of, you know, truly embracing the experience that we're having, that is compassion. That is when in that place of compassion, then everything can change. But as long as we're in resistance, it will persist. I think it was Carl Jung who said, "What we resist persists," and it seems to be very true. The other thing in the forgiveness process is forgiving the unforgivable. And certainly there have been a lot of unforgivable things that have happened over time throughout history. Just even, you know, every culture, every, we could say tribe, or, you know, pretty much every human being has probably experienced something that is an unforgivable act, a betrayal, or an experience that is so deeply painful. You know, and it's happened when, you know, there's been invasions of different cultures coming in and taking over and wiping out the people that were there, or subjugating them or enslaving them, or, you know, those are some of the things that are unforgivable things. And yet those things cannot be undone. Once the bell has been rung, it can't be unrung. So the way forward is to forgive those things and to make conscious choices in ways that are going to be more supportive to creating a world where, if we can forgive the unforgivable things that happened, if we can all embrace our sorrow, our grief, and transform the hurt and the pain and the wounding that we have, then what emerges from is the conscious realization that ultimately there are no victims, there are only co-creators, and sometimes as co-creators we are unconscious of what we're co-creating. And so first, often the person that we need to forgive most is ourselves, starting with self-forgiveness, and then being able to be honest about how we may have consciously or unconsciously co-created whatever experience we are having. So it doesn't mean that people who've done harm to us, or situations that have been harmful to us, are something we should continue to engage. But rather, how do we become conscious, become aware, Chiron, awareness, and emotionally aware, as well as aware through our understanding, to how we can make more conscious decisions and be co-creative in a way that's going to be creating a new earth that is based in love and compassion and wisdom and joy and ways that support us in being wholly being who we are. Anyway, so recognizing this possibility, this process, and working with the principles of forgiveness, Ho'onoponopono is a Hawaiian process of forgiveness. I think I wrote a lot about this in the Celestial Timings last year, the forgiveness process, and I will write more about it in the months to come, sharing things about how we can work with this process to be dreaming the dream onward, to dream a new reality where we have integrated the emotional experiences that we have. We can, we're no longer in the illusions that we need to push that down or repress it, but we can find healthy expressions. And this is really, really important. Healthy expressions for what we feel. The grieving process, doing a community grieving healing ceremony, is powerful because it gives a safe space for people to express their grief and to be witnessed in that grieving process, to be acknowledged and loved and supported and nurtured in a very safe space. So finding ways to do that for ourselves, if we don't have community we can do that with, will be really helpful in engaging the gifts that Chiron's passage through Pisces has for us. Thank you so much for listening. This is Kaylin Costell.